Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
Hey. Got the voice back.
Swear to God. Check a real nigga. I know this life a marathon. I'm in the clothing by Nipsey.
Sipping Lalo out the motherfucking bottle today.
Rest in peace, a little brother up in Texas that had his daughter with him. And please don't ever think I'm slipping, cause my daughter's with me. They all against me, so I'm rocking alone. Assistant packs the young bossy, we like Stockton Malone. I invest in a couple stocks, but ain't no stock on this phone. This flu game is dead stock, and I got it locked in the O. Stop for lies,
right? Shout out to everybody riding to work right now, getting to it, not going through it. Y'all know the movement. You trying to turn this shit up, roll the windows down and vibe with me one time.
I'm kicking this boat. They hit a block and shot it up, you know I'm spinning for show.
A lot of good music came out, some shit in the news, you know what I mean? Not super saturated, but we gonna get to it.
I gotta pick up this dough. I'm from the trenches, bitch. It ain't nobody vicious as blow.
Hey, the Bay Area getting active right now. Shout out Joe Blow. Loyalty was what we just listening to right now with Shake Haters. And, you know what I mean? Do you. Shady Nate back at him. Courtesy of the Mob album in your phones right now.
Professional as fuck podcast.
Where else? Shout out to my sisters and my mom, man. You already know the fucking vibes.
I ain't tripping, I'm just dipping and dripping, chasing this paper. 99 problems and none of them from a hater. 99 problems and none of them from a hater.
Not a one.
99 problems and none of them from a hater. I ain't tripping, I'm just dipping and dripping.
Need y'all to pray for anybody who's opposing the success of what we got going on right here, because they gonna need it.
99 problems and none of them from a hater.
Almost definitely.
99 problems and none of them from a hater.
Turn up.
Bitch miss me with the he say, she say. All I need to know is if the dough on replay. One monkey, don't stop my show, no way. Walk the scene, no hopeful, I do what a hoe say. No way I believe she don't come like she leave. Slow feet, then you better have a trick up your sleeve. Foot all on a bitch neck till the hoe can't breathe. Big dog to you next, I just scratch off fleas. Scratch off, thought I fell off, but I'm really well off. I whip the sauce with the sauce, little bitch, I'm really your boss. Don't sneeze, don't cough, just tear mine off. You can't afford it if you don't already know about the cost.
Let's keep it moving one time. We gonna start this up, I promise you. I'm just vibing right now.
Mike and Keys.
Yo, TT, what up? I got the voice back, fam. We're going to lock in.
Sometimes I wake up in a deep sweat. Got to cry and take a deep breath. Feeling like I only got a week left. Till it is live a life of mine to the fullest. Hoping that my fate is not decided by a bullet. I miss graduations and gatherings with the family. Money and fame can turn beauty to calamity. The man in me always holds space.
Shout out to the wife.
You
we live a life, B.
You don't, but you can't do
shit
both.
Lovely.
I hold close. My niggas who couldn't make it here with me. The ones who used to walk down Whitney beside me. I'm no different from them. They went home. I stayed in the gym. I wanted more out of life than money and home.
Shout out my kids, man. Best thing I've ever been a part of, real talk.
There's black trucks outside when I hit the road. It's five figures plus when I get what I'm owed. I run shows, sell merch.
This is, without a shadow of a doubt, the talk of the town, what your town is talking about. Unprofessional as fuck with your host, Ruck. And this is episode 275 for the folks. Come on. Come on now. This chorus rocked and we out of here, man.
My fate is not decided by a bullet. I miss graduations and gatherings with the family. Money and fame can turn beauty to calamity. The man in me.
A little more Lalo out the bottle, you know what I mean? You know the vibes. Hey, hey. All right, let's cut this shit off, man. Let's
you
cut this off.
You either sink or you swim, but you can't do both.
You can't do both, man. But you tuned in right now to the my favorite podcast. I hope it's yours as well. If not, you know what I mean? It's debatable. Anyway, episode 275, man. I'm feeling good. Voice is back. You know, just getting to it, not going through it. That's the motto. That's the motive. That's the focal point, man. First and foremost, clap it up for everybody who's here right now. It has been a lot of changes, man, trying to get y'all to navigate to exactly where this pod was at. You know what I mean? The turmoil that we've been going through. I'm not going to open up every fucking week talking about it, but it is a blessing to see the audience continue to transition and move and follow over this way. And you know, it's going to take some time. It ain't overnight, but nothing worth achieving is. So with that being said, you know what I mean? Thank y'all for being here, and let's get to the motherfucking show. All right, man, I'm a little upset. I thought I had it set in my fucking calendar, bro. The Dreamville Fest went down this past weekend. I believe it was two nights. It could have been three. Don't quote me. All I do know is the clip started coming out. Who was there, man? They had Lil Wayne and the rest of the Hot Boys. They got a reunion that they did on that stage out there in North Carolina. Of course, J. Cole shut it down. everybody that you would expect to see from Dreamville, whether that be Boss, J.I.D., Kaz, Omen, along with some other heads, man. I mean, they look like they put on a hell of a show, and what was so dope to me in the clips that I've seen, especially those of Cole, being that they had announced that this was going to be the final, the final Dreamville Fest that took place over this past weekend, he spoke to the fans, and he kind of had some shit to say to them. I want you to kind of just hear some of the sounds and vibes that took place over the weekend.
No such thing as a life that's better than yours. No such thing as a life that's better than yours.
Y'all have to excuse me, man. All right, now, CCC, that's too much. First and foremost, I don't want to play actually any of the music, so I'm going to leave it be. I thought that I had a different slide there, but what I did see is just some of the dope shit that you could, kind of count on for Cole to do. He starts off the entire show. When he opens up, it's basically a model of his bedroom in the home. For those of y'all who are just casual fans, J. Cole had lived in the spot. I want to say it was in New York, right? And there was a Middle Eastern family who allowed him to have a room in the joint. He might have been behind on rent from time to time, but they believed in him. They liked the young man and, you know, his morals, his manners, how he carried himself, which I always try to tell my kids, like, that'll get you a million times further in life than any amount of money or whatever people try to value these days, right? Just the way that you carry yourself. If people like to be around you, you know, they'll make sure that you're around where they're at as well. So I thought it was dope the way this guy opens up. It's basically a model of the old bedroom. He's sitting there at the desk the same way that I am right now, right? You got the boom arm up, the microphone out, the pop filter, and it's just right back to the basics, man. Like, anybody who's created anything, whether it be music, if you're an author, if you're a writer, if you're a painter, if you're any type of artist, right? You know that some of the highs and the lows, the ebbs and the flows of it all begin with you just being there solo, you and your canvas, whatever that may be, whether it's an actual canvas as a painter, whether it's a beat that's already made as a rapper, whether you are a producer who's making the beat from scratch. Like, you sit there and you bounce ideas off a lot more often than not, yourself and yourself only. And there'll be moments, like, you know what I mean? They say, like, as a basketball analogy, like, shooters know when they come off the wrist, okay, this is bottom of the net, you know what I mean? This a bucket. Well, as a creative, like, there's certain points and times when you know, like, immediately, right? Whether you have a room of people that's vibing or if it's just you, like, this is different. And just to see him go back to that kind of stage in the career and where he's at now, and, you know, the final Dreamville Fest, the Fall Off album, which everybody's still waiting on, the highly anticipated Fall Off album. It's like full circle for this guy. And although we gave him a ton of shit for what happened in the whole exchange, you know, the big three exchange, we'll just leave it at that because I'm trying to have a pod without talking about the other two. But it was just dope to see him go back to that. And he does things in a way that I haven't seen any other artist do. And that's a big kudos to him and just how he carries himself. Like, the artistry is always first in mind. Like, he puts that before anything else. So, again, just clap it up for the Dreamville Fest. For J. Cole, I did want to play some of the clips, but now that I'm thinking about it, you know what I mean, YouTube and the way that they get funky when you try to do things, I'm just going to leave it be. I'm going to start actually having to edit these pods. The last pod that should have been immediately uploaded over to YouTube, it kicked back. And I was trying to think and rack my mind, like, what that could have been, right? And then I remember Hail Mary played during the duration of a clip that I was reading on the feed. It'd be real finicky, man. Like, it's going to be good, though. It's going to keep me on my P's and Q's because you know how this shit goes. You know what happened with Opify. So we're going to keep shit moving, man. I just did want to open and congratulate Cole on what he's got going on and just get our guys props, bro. Now, with that being said, there's also props that must go out to. Of course, you know, you guys might think, okay, this guy constantly talking about the man, LaRussell, but it's important to document certain things that are going on. Russell has a Itty Bitty City Fest, right? And y'all who are fans of Mac Dre, the Itty Bitty City by the water, the steady getting tall, you know what I mean? Y'all know the vibes. Vallejo Fest, you know, Vallejo's going to have its own festival. It's going to be LaRussell putting this shit on. I kind of briefly want to talk about just some of the things that I've seen. Du Bois, Scarface, LaRussell, Warren G, amongst others, are going to be there participating in this Itty Bitty City Fest. Clap it up for LaRussell. He just continues to defy the laws of fucking of gravity to me when you talk about this music shit and how everything is going, man. It's very dope to see. Along with that, it's also a pay what you want. Of course, there's a minimum fee. I'm not going to put that business out there. I need y'all to go check it out. Give it a look and see what you're willing to throw down in order to be part of such an amazing event. I really will back anything that this guy does without even knowing much about it, just based off of the way that he moves, the way that he operates, and just seeing, you know, how shit's been going down as of late. He also has opened up a pay what you want cafe. I'm trying to find this right here. Yes. Rapper LaRussell opens Pay What You Want Cafe in Vallejo, California. Manny Melendez, I think that might be, probably Melendez, it's probably just a typo. Co-owner of Momo's Cafe in Vallejo, California, he and his family have been running the restaurant known for dishes like French toast, chicken, and waffles for over a decade. And in 2022, rapper LaRussell Thomas renovated the cafe and introduced the Pay What You Want pricing model to support the community. Now, I'm just going to continue to highlight things that I think are dope that this young man is doing because it needs to be done. There's enough shit that we come here and talk about that's negative when we talk about hip-hop, and that's not the vibe. Never anything that I'm trying to do. So with that being said, whenever I see good news, I'm going to flock to that shit. I'm going to make sure that we all know about it and we all hear about it as we should, right? Immediately. This is a bittersweet. Oh, cut that shit off. Bittersweet moment for me. Excuse me, y'all. Little Brother, man, this is a group from North Carolina that I discovered, you know, through homies playing their one of their albums. I thought it was their debut. To me, it was a debut. I remember listening to the Minstrel Show as a youngster, and you know, the homie had the CD. That's how far back this was, the CD and the whip, and we was listening, and I'm just like, yo, what the fuck is this? Ninth Wonder on the production, rapper Big Pooh. Fonte, you know, New Tigolo, for those of y'all who know who I'm talking about. They have announced the curtain call. Final tour for Little Brother. You know, it would be amazing if we could see Ninth Wonder be a part of these things, but don't hold your breath. All I do know is anytime these people drop, I am very glad that they have. There was a documentary that came out, I believe, last year. That shit was, you know, something that I highly suggest I'll go back and check out. So, see here, we got maybe 12 dates, with one of the 12 announced as part of the Rock LaBelle's cruise. Excuse me, y'all. The Lalo at the bottom might not be the maneuver. Beginning in May 24th, it kicks off in Baltimore, Maryland. It seems like they're doing a lot of festivals. They got the Brooklyn Bowl on August 1st. So they begin in Maryland, go to Boston, Brooklyn, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Atlanta. Oh, there you fucking go. I thought there was no Bay Area representation. Blue Note Jazz Festival. Oh, yeah, that's official. August 29th through the 31st, they'll be in Napa. Chicago, Illinois at the Metro on September 13th. Then we go back to the West Coast, Seattle, Washington. On September 19th, the 20th, they're going to be in Los Angeles. Then, of course, shutting the show down, the curtain call, where else? Raleigh, North Carolina, Lincoln Theater on 10/24. And Little Brother, please. It's not for everybody, man. It's real hip-hop shit. But when you talk about people who spit bars, who rap substance, who got actually something to say, there's none better than what these guys do. Fonte, easily your favorite rapper. Rapper Big Pooh, nothing to sneeze at all. The chemistry between the two is just, it's a whole vibe. Shout out to Ninth Wonder. I know he may not be part of the picture these days, but just to be someone who helped these guys get to where they got to, you got to clap it up. You know, congratulations to Lil Brother and everything they got going on. Now, there was a lot of protests going on over the weekend. I was not in the know. You know what I mean? I was obviously sleeping. So just to paint the picture for y'all. Saturday morning, it was, I believe it was Saturday, right? Maybe not. Yeah. Over the weekend, Definitely was Saturday. Saturday morning, my son went to the prom. You know what I mean? He was, we got him up early, got him fitted. You know what I mean? He was going out to go take the pictures and whatnot. And my other son is Smith and I at his friend's house. So I get up. I'm like, yo, we about to make breakfast. I go pick the youngest up. You know what I mean? Make sure he's here. Get his grub on. Get him in the stinky feet up and out the fucking homie's house, right? I don't know the parents. The parents, they be helping us out. You know what I mean? I mean, as parents, you know, it's all good. Your kid wants somebody to spend the night. You know, they're safe in that home by all means. But then that morning roll around, it take, you know, you got to be one of the parents that don't overextend the welcome. You got to make sure you go and grab them. So that's what we did. And I come back and I'm like, damn, parking spot gone immediately. And I'm looking around. I'm like, the whole block is fucking full. I don't see no barbecues. I don't see no events going on. I'm like, what could be the case, right? Unbeknownst to me, the hands-off protests that were going on all around the country also took place here in Little Tracy, California, man. So I was unaware of what was going on. I see a bunch of people out. I get out. As I park, I walk out. I see people had signs, obviously denouncing Elon Musk and Trump and everything that they got going on. And I'm not going to fully politicize this joint. I'm just going to say that it was kind of cool to see all walks of life, every different demographic represented, standing up for what it is they believe in, regardless of what side of the coin you're on, pun intended. It was just cool to see people passionate about something and willing to go stand on what they believe. Now, some of these protests didn't go as good as expected. I'm going to play a clip that I seen right here. Hold on. This woman snatched the mic out of the speaker's hand. Of course. Oh, shit. Okay, this is my first time seeing this, y'all. Jesus Christ.
Yo. That was wrong. That was really fucked up, and that's going to be dealt with. And this person's going to be okay, and we're all here.
All right, I'm not laughing. That's nothing to laugh at. Okay. Damn, I wish I would have watched this shit prior to bringing it to the pod. But anyway, there's a protest going on. A lady comes up. She's got the overalls on. You know what I mean? She looked like she just fed the pig some slop. And she gets up there, snatches the microphone out of a speaker's hand. She screams out, Donald Trump or die. Well, I'll be honest with you. Everybody there was not Trump supporters, and they seem to be alive and thriving. One gentleman got up. The way that he walked up so nonchalant, I thought he might have been security. Apparently not. Security must have been called after that, because the man walks up and immediately, slaps this woman in the face. And I'm not here to laugh at that. I was just caught off fucking guard for sure. Immediately, you see other protesters come in and they don't co-sign what just happened. They separate the two, get the guy the hell up and out of there, and the protest continues. But, you know, no, not to make any jokes about any of that shit, because it's not a laughing matter. Just because somebody's views are different than yours doesn't mean that you fall off of your core values. So that was unfortunate to see. And there needs to be some type of trigger warning on these fucking videos, y'all. I mean, that's just how I'm feeling. But yeah, hands-off protests, and then you go and put your hands on somebody, kind of seems counterproductive. Gotta do better than that. Most definitely. Most definitely. It seems that movie theaters are feeling they gotta do better as well. Regal CEO floats texting auditoriums and smoking in theaters to revamp the movie experience. Now, I don't know, man. What's this all about? Eduardo Acuna has suggested exploring unconventional ideas like creating texting auditoriums and allowing smoking in theaters to enhance the movie-going experience. No official plans have been confirmed. He indicated a willingness to test such concepts as reported in Variety article from March 27, 2025, there remain experimental ideas rather than implemented changes as of April 5th, 2025. Now, what do y'all think about that? Now, what kind of smoking, right? Like, are we talking about, you know, bring tree in and watch a film? I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who would be advocates of that. Shit, at this point, even though I ain't smoking, I might sit in at a matinee and catch a little contact one time, you know what I mean? Whatever they got to do to keep the doors open, keep jobs flowing, right? I mean, you can't tell business owners to not try to, you know, exercise all options available to them to try to get some shit done. So whatever it is, man. Shout outs to people who are trying to have innovative ideas and finding a way to keep the lights on in their respective businesses. Now the lights are on and they're definitely even brighter than before, man. This breezy bowl continues to get bigger and bigger. We told y'all Bryson Tiller, Summer Walker, Chris Breezy himself, headlining Breezy Bowl Tour going on throughout the states. Now just added Janae Aiko as well. Okay, it's a four-headed monster now. There's a couple ways of looking at this. Some people are saying, oh, you know, he needs more firepower in order to sell out these stadium tours. And, hey, whatever you want to call it, man, however you want to slice it, for a person to be courageous enough to go out on a tour like this, to put themselves out there to basically showcase their talent. And who else is more talented right now that we have, at least in this genre or this, you know, this culture, hip-hop, R&B, than a Chris Breezy? I don't know many who do it better than him, if any at all. A lot of people have been talking about, is there kind of a black ball lifting? Is there a black cloud that is lifting off of this guy and what he's, you know, his talents? Partially, you know, you could say yes. He just got a Grammy Award, you know, this past Grammy Awards. It seemed like he had been blackballed for some time over there. If people are wondering why, obviously the incident with Rihanna that took place and, you know, when they were younger. And just as I talk about that protest, you know, where the guy put hands on during the hands-off protest, never a laughing matter and nothing to fucking sneeze at. Never will be an advocate of putting your hands on women. Those two had seemed to have reconciled and they found a way to move on and get past and be advocates of each other even afterwards while they have, you know, different lives and different situations going on. When you see something like that, you might be doing Rihanna a disservice to continue to bring that incident up to her. Maybe she's got past it, wants to move on. And if she's, you know, basically forgiven Chris Brown, then who is everybody else to hold her to the fire for it? I've seen her catch flack, actually, for carrying herself in the way she does. And I mean, do people want you to forever be a victim, or do they want you to be able to pick up the pieces, move on, and move forward accordingly? Obviously, Rihanna, you know, has herself, her own beautiful family now, her ASAP Rocky, two children. Also, some rumors going out right now that seeing Rihanna walk around in baggier clothes. People are alluding to perhaps her being pregnant with the third. If that's the case, we're clapping it up. And even if it's not, man, we're clapping it up for all parties involved. Chris Brown, Bryson Tiller, Summer Walker, Janae Aiko, definitely a good look for the fans of those artists, and they are incredible artists. Should be a hell of a night, man. Shout out to those four. And, you know, shit, it's time to see what them fucking tickets are looking like. Now, unfortunately, before we go any further and, you know, completely get away from incidents like we've been discussing, I know a lot of people were kind of like, well, how's Cassie going to be able to testify? I'm sure she signed a non-disclosure agreement, an NDA, in order to get that payout from P. Shitty, right? Well, there's a loophole. While her stage name might have been Cassie Ventura, she has now been rumored to testify under her own, biological name, the name given to her at birth, in the upcoming sex trafficking trial. I want to clap that up. And the reason why I'm clapping it up is because it takes courage. You have to be a courageous individual to relive the accounts. I mean, the whole world sees these videos and they're going to paint you in a way you're never going to be able to, you know, i.e. the whole Rihanna thing, remove yourself from people's thoughts when it comes to shit like that. So for you to now go the extra step further and be like, okay, let me find a loophole. Let me find a way to do what's necessary to get this guy where he deserves to be and keep him there. A lot of people at the beginning of the year were saying they thought perhaps this whole Diddy shit was going to boil over. I'm going to give my quick thoughts on it. I'm going to let it be. There's been a lot of reports of cases being dismissed. I heard a hot take from another individual who was like, well, wouldn't you, you know, be an advocate for having people put random ass accusations out there and then a bunch of them get, thrown out. Now, it kind of changes the narrative. Now you kind of look at in the victim role almost as if everybody's out to get you. I don't know about that. What the crazy? And although that might be a dangerous defense tactic, I can see a world where that shit might work in the eyes of some of the people, right? It's supposed to be a jury of your peers. We all know that's rarely the case. However, if there's a lot of these stories that come up and then get tossed to the wayside, it could bode either well for you or those who just skim through stories could just see more names and more names and more issues. It's definitely a dangerous route to go if that is the route that they're going. But happy to see that Cassie, as we'll call her here, is taking the steps necessary to try to do what all she can to put this man ultimately in a permanent home behind bars. And I don't want to sound like I'm, like, you know, happy to see a person go down, but when you do foul shit, you would only hope that that would come back to you tenfold, right? I mean, fuck. This is kind of crazy. Florida man has been arrested for threatening to shoot President Trump on Facebook.
What the feezy?
Yeah, freedom of speech, I guess not, right? When it applies to a president, whether sitting or former. Florida man was arrested for his Facebook threats to fatally shoot President Trump last week. Posted a mugshot after cops cuffed him. And it looks like an older hippie, you know what I mean? Looks like he might, you know, be either smoking on some wacky tobacco or chilling on, you know, maybe beachside on a surfboard, who knows? Looks like somebody you might accidentally have a beer with at a bar. But now arrested for threatening to shoot Trump. These things could happen. I might as well just keep it quiet, right? I've been kind of a little too vocal over here on this spot. It's not just music that will take you down, apparently. With that being said, back to Chris Brown, because he's asking his fans to stop this new trend that's going on. He has a tour he's on right now. A lot of meet and greets are going on. Excuse me, y'all. Team Breezy has been, I guess, in Reddit posts or whatever, coming together and deciding that they're going to wear red bandanas to the shows. Chris Brown has come out and advised fans not to wear them to support him at the upcoming tour. Currently selling tickets to stadiums nationwide for his upcoming Breezy Bowl. Fans plan to attend were coordinating to wear red bandanas in support of the singer. In response, Brown is suggesting different ideas for public safety. He has told fans just to rock the brown bandanas, right? I mean, even in some places, that might get you in shaky waters, but at least trying to change the narrative. Let's not bring negative attention to such a wonderful occasion. Fans, you guys got to do better, man. That shit ain't going to fly everywhere. Now, we know with a Chris Brown concert, especially you had Summer Walker, Janae Aiko, Bryson Tiller, the ratio of men versus women is going to be highly favored in the women's side. Something to think about, single fellas. But not every pretty girl, you know what I mean, flaunting her assets, rocking a red bandana is going to be accepted at every show. So, especially at Los Angeles show, be very wary of what you're doing and how you're going out. Just a PSA to all the fans out there. Another PSA has come out for California Highway 99. I've been saying this for the longest, man. As someone who's constantly driving, especially from, you know, here to Sacramento and back, the 99 freeway to me has always been a fucking red flag, just all together, man. Red flag, damn. Didn't even know, double entendre. Now a study shows that of all the freeways in California, this is the deadliest. California State Route 99 runs through almost the entire length of the Central Valley. It starts near Willow Ridge and Interstate 5 and stretches up to the valley's most populated areas. Cities along the route include Bakersfield, Delano, Tulare, Visalia, Fresno, Madera, Merced, Turlock, Modesto, Manteca, Stockton, Sacramento, Yuba City, Chico, and more. And what's left of the old U.S. Route 99, what actually used to run from Mexico to Canada before it was decommissioned in 1972. You know, a main section of there, you know, people are working to expand to at least 6 lanes. This shit is happening all over the place. They are definitely dragging ass on that construction as well. But some of it, it's a 2-lane rural road and 4-lane freeway along the old route. A study by a Dallas law firm analyzed federal data from 2018 to 2022 and found that 99 is the deadliest highway in California. Over those 5 years, 445 people have died on the road, an average of 89 fatalities per year.
What the feezy?
I told my wifey, anytime that I could, you know, go any other route, I definitely do. I will go the further way. I will sit in more traffic to avoid that shit. I've just seen too much. I've seen transients treat that shit like a game of Frogger, which is always dangerous. I've seen cars, whether it be cell phones, distract them or whatever, what have you, ride up along some of the dirt, you know, embankments to the right of them, spin out, go through 2 lanes of traffic, the slow lane, the one directly left to it, face oncoming traffic before recorrecting and getting back. It's just a death trap waiting to happen. And now the study here shows and basically, you know, confirms what was already thought in my mind. Stay off of the fucking 99. I got 99 freeways and that one's not one. Fuck that. Stay safe out there to everybody driving, man. Just vibe with the phone down every once in a while. I know people are fucking creatures of habit, and you're going to do what you do. And some of y'all are looking at your phone as you're listening right fucking now. Please put that shit down. Drive. Try to safely get to your destination, man. The stories are going to be there. The phone's going to be there. Your family needs you home. Do what you got to do to get to and from safely. Let's move along. Now, from the beginning of time, kids have been ditching class, ditching school, staying home, creating reasons or excuses to not go to school, fake coughs, decoy colds, fraudulent flus, whatever, what have you. Basically pleading their cases to their parents to stay home. Now, a Charleston County School District will reportedly pay families $25 a week if their kids don't miss a day.
What the feezy?
Implement that shit over here, man. I know $25 per week don't sound like a lot, but that's $100 a month. Who can't use the extra $100 in the pocket? I would drop my kid off with a snotty nose if they up that shit up a little bit. You know what I mean? Running from March 10th to the 16th, the initiative targets 10 schools and select grades aiming to combat absenteeism. Funds are distributed via restricted use debit cards. Oh, restricted. For essentials like food, gas, or utilities. Oh, see, there you go. Now, if I could have sent my kids on their way to get some Douce, you know what I mean, if I could have guaranteed my kid would be there tomorrow for another bottle of Lalo, no, I'm kidding, y'all. Each eligible student in the household can earn weekly rewards regardless of attendance history. Participants enroll through an app that tracks spending. Oh, wow. Yeah, that might be a bit much. Now, don't tell me to do my part and then want to watch what I do with the fucking money that comes from it. It's none of y'all fucking business. All jokes aside, man, whatever it takes to get kids in class, you know what I mean, I'm an advocate of. But as parents, I know shit gets difficult. You know, you're working 9 to 5, some people doing double shifts, whatever it is they got to do to get their kids to and from. Now, this is going to make it a hell of a lot harder on them because proposed California bill.
4 a.m. on weekends and holidays means
we start this joint.
Bigger boost to business in San Jose. San Francisco Assemblymember Matt Haney introduced this piece of legislation on Monday in Los Angeles as the city prepares to host the 2028 Summer Olympics.
City after city, we've seen downtowns that are still experiencing some of the country's highest vacancy rates. Vacancy rates in offices, vacancy rates in retail. We need people in our downtowns. We need them to come here not just during the day, but at night.
San Francisco bar owner and founder of the California Nightlife Association, Ben Blyman, has seen firsthand the aftermath of COVID, and he believes reimagining nightlife is something the state can do right now to breathe new life and new money into cities across the state.
All right, so check it out. The first part of that clip kind of got, I guess, muted. The proposed bill will change last call from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. Now, as a person who just recently came here and told y'all I have a problem with calling the night of night, obviously shit like this does not need to apply to me, but 4 a.m. cutoff instead of the traditional 2 a.m. Hey, it is what it is. And some of the bigger cities, you know what I mean, some of these metropolitan areas that's already implemented, whether it be like a Miami or other places like that. Now, if this happens in California, hey, all that means is these cops are going to have to work a little later in the night, right? You don't have to bulk up that late night shift. Those who used to stay in the cuts and try to catch you at 2 doing what you're not supposed to do, y'all gonna have to stay up to 4, but you'll probably catch more. Pros and cons on this, most definitely, I'm sure. But for those who do own a piece of the nightlife and do want to see their businesses succeed, I understand their skin in the race. I think it should be something that if they do roll it out, they roll it out slowly and as a trial period. Just see how it affects all portions of things and go from there. One thing that I am happy to see is this here. Cut that off. There's a college student out. I want to get her name, man. Where's she at? Dania Sherman, man. Turned personal trauma into a powerful innovation. After a bad incident while studying abroad, she decided enough was enough and a device called the No-Nap. A napkin that secretly tests your drink for common date drugs. Has been created by this Dania Sherman. Clap it up for her. Now, at first glance, it looks like any regular napkin you'd get at a bar or restaurant, but hidden in the corners are detection zones. Just dab your drink onto the napkin, and if it changes colors, it's picked up substances like Rohinol or Xanax. What makes it genius is it's completely discreet. No awkward testing kits or suspicious stares. You stay safe without sacrificing your comfort in social settings. I mean, I'm all for that. I'm going to clap it up for young Daniel. It's unfortunate that it took, you know, her having a traumatic event for this shit to happen, but I've just seen this video that just makes it all the worth more wild to me. It says, ladies, you're never fully saved. This video could save a life. Shows a woman with her back towards her drink. Another man walks up, acts like he's speaking to the man next to him. Puts a dose of whatever it is in his hand, then pours it into her beer, unbeknownst to her. Cameras caught this at the bar. Piece of shit is found doing this thing. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about his racial ethnicity, but y'all could guess. Not to say that it's one demographic that does these type of things, but women got to be out there being safe. My daughter's going to be 21 before I fucking know it. She ain't a drinker now, but who's to say she ain't going to go dabbling and test the waters, and I would like her to have something to test her drink as well. So, Daniel, thank you for that. I think I speak for all of the right-minded individuals who say that that is definitely a step in the right direction. You never know what could happen. And everybody out there doesn't have your best fucking interest at hand. Something that we all know, some more than others, including Terrence Howard.
But for weeks asking me to come and teach him how to, you know, wanted me to be his acting coach for a while. Go there and he's sitting around just looking.
Terrence Howard's speaking.
I'm like,
of
okay,
P.
what's
Shitty.
The material you want to work on? He's just looking at me. Then next thing you know, okay, hey, will you help me? I want to hear your music. So I come over there and I play the music. And he's sitting there just looking at me, like waiting. Okay. So then my assistant was like, you know, he wants to hang out with you next week. And I was like, for what? He's like, I think he's trying to fuck you. That's what my assistant said. And I was like, oh, okay. Now I get it. So now no more communication.
Damn.
Now you know to be hands off with somebody. A number of producers coming to make the approach. And you threaten to punch them in the mouth. Or threaten to knock their head off for talking to you like, or looking at you like you're a woman. You know, when you approach a real man about his masculinity, you're going to get a real reaction back. He invited me for weeks asking me to come and teach him.
Oh, man, this ain't going to bode well for you. Terrence Howard, man, this guy broke down quantum physics and shit, right, on Rogan. Now he's speaking to law and crime. These are people who kind of been definitely benefiting off these cases, off the accusations and everything that's going on with that guy. Man. Nobody is safe when it comes to this guy, man. So I don't know how you defend that. I don't know how you're going to spin that narrative, but come on, man. You got young Terrence Howard over here. Oh, man. Oh, did it, man. Tell me you're trying to hear my music, man. You're like, I give it to the DJ, man. Let him play it, man. I don't know. All jokes aside, man. Shitty. P. Shitty, man. Sean knocked upside your dome's combs. What the fuck is wrong with you, bro? It seems like he knows no boundaries, man. Now, Terrence Howard, I don't know if it was the eyes. I don't know if it was a whoop that trick. Maybe he thought that y'all had some shit in common. I'm not trying to crack jokes. I'm just saying. That's crazy. Big name, actor, artist, speaking out. With absolutely nothing to benefit from this, right? You're almost putting yourself out in a vulnerable position to even speak on things like this, but somebody got to do it. Shouts to Cassie. Shouts to Terrence Howard. Shouts to all people involved trying to do what's right and right the wrongs of somebody who's been able to do this shit for far too long. Very unfortunate, but hey, whatever it takes to get this sorted out the way that it should be, I'm all for it. Talk sports real quick. Man, oh man. I've been on a little bit of a Prize Picks motherfucking winning streak lately. Let's clap it up, man. Come on. Well, what's crazy is when you go to like look at your past lineups, right? So if you just had a lineup to clear, then you want to go look and see, you know, how it went, you know, why you didn't get the full payout on the flex. If you've seen, okay, two or three or four of these shits was green, One of them was red. Let me see who I got to hold to the fire. Now, over the weekend, I made the mistake of leaving that page open. My wife looks over. She sees the total win, and she's like, what the fuck? So instantly, she's like, well, how much have you lost? So I just skimmed through, like, maybe, like, the past fucking 3 months. I'm just showing, like, look. I'm not gambling a huge amount of money. But overall, at least, from what I showed her in general, it's a lot more green than red, right? And being that you're only dropping a little here, a little there, when you do hit a big one, it's going to basically keep that afloat for a while. You're going to be able to play off it for a minute. Over this past weekend, one player did hold me out of the winning green position. That was Stephen Curry, man.
What the feezy?
Now, unbeknownst to me, man, this Houston Rockets team is in second place right now in the Western Conference. I think we need to start talking about Ime Udoka as another Coach of the Year fucking candidate. I know a lot of people are going to vote against that based off why he was dismissed over in Boston. But when you get that team to a chip or knocking on the door and then basically the team and everything that you had implemented, taken over by the youngster over there, was able to get him over the hump. But for you to go over to a team like the Houston Rockets with very, very minimal names, you talk about Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet, Amen Thompson, who's playing great defense as a rookie or a second-year player. You got to tip your hat to this guy, man. He had his second-seed Houston Rockets go face the Warriors, who have been on a tear lately since the addition of Jimmy Butler. Now, I was using the low, too, the 19.5 points for Stephen Curry. His past three games before that was like 62, 36, 38. I'm thinking 19 is a no-brainer, right? Now, I'm looking at my shit like, this must not be updating. Third quarter, that shit said 3 points. I'm like, what? I leave it be. I look back, fourth quarter, 4 minutes, 3 points. I'm like, what? So then I got to go over to the NBA app, and I start looking at this guy's shooting percentage. He was like 1-for-10 from the three-point line. Hit nothing from the field. They had a fucking flurry of defensive players in his face at all times. Were they getting physical? Absolutely. Were some foul calls people thought should have went in his favor not called? Yeah, no doubt. But this is the brand of basketball you're going to get at this point in the year. Especially when you're in this, meaningful part of the basketball season where a lot of people are vying for the position that they want in this playoff race. Now, those who are casual basketball fans, used to be teams 1-8. That was it. 8 seed played the 1. 7 seed plays the 2. And, go down the line, right? 3 plays the 6. 4 and 5 would play each other. Now, they've added a 9th and 10th seed, which will get into a playoff game race, right? So the 9 and 10th seed plays each other. The 9th seed will host that game. The winner moves on. The loser is eliminated. The 7th and 8th seed play a game, 7th seed hosting, 8th seed on the road. Now, if the 8th seed loses that game, they now play the winner of the 9 and 10 game, and whoever wins that final game will be the official 8th seed in the playoffs. Yeah, sounds very intricate, and it is. But any way to get more games played, more meaningful basketball, more money into the pockets of the NBA, they're going to do it. That being said, the Kings were 10th seed as of last night. Found a way to win a game. Not many people had them winning. They beat the Cavaliers on the road. Clap it up for the Kings. This is without Keegan Murray. Big game for three of their should have been all-stars. I mean, maybe not Zach LaVine, but Zach LaVine leads the charge. I think he had like 30-plus points and then 27 from DeMar DeRozan. Another 20-plus from Domantas Sabonis. So the big three did that thing, get a win on the road. Be the number one seed Cleveland Cavaliers, number one in the East at least. Excuse me, y'all. Kings currently in the 9th seed. If things ended today, we would be playing the Dallas Mavericks, who are currently in the 10th position. We would host. We get a win there. We play the winner of either the Timberwolves or, I think it's the Clippers at this point. They would host that game, whoever wins there. And the winner of that has to go face the big bad wolf of the West, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, I'm going to tell you, as a Kings fan, I'm obviously hoping for the best for our organization, but I'm going to tell you exactly how this shit's going to go. Should things remain the same and the Kings be in the 9th position, there is a way that we do win that game against the Mavericks. Excuse me. It's not the Clippers. In the AC currently, it's the Memphis Grizzlies. So the Timberwolves will play the Grizzlies. You're talking about Anthony Edwards. A lot of people are saying he might be the future face of the league. Versus one in the Memphis Grizzlies, Ja Morant, who had every opportunity to be that, but because of his antics has kind of removed himself from that situation. Now, although those are both small markets, along with that of Sacramento and even Dallas, right? Star power-wise, you're going to want to see a Ja or Anthony Edwards in the playoffs, and you're definitely going to want to see them go up against Oklahoma City Thunder. So this is how I look at things. No matter how it pans out, I think the Kings, even if we win that first game, we go to play that 7th or 8th seed, whoever loses in that respective game. And I don't see a way that we come out of there victorious. And I'm not saying we don't have the talent to do it any given fucking day. A team could be hot from the field and do what they do. But the same way that you know, referees have kind of dictated shit in the past, whether that be foul calls, slowing down the game, getting somebody who's intricate to your team in foul trouble early. I don't see us getting out and becoming the official A seed, and it's unfortunate. What the I know a lot of people are like, man, have faith, speak shit into fruition, but I've just been a fan of this league for far too long, and I know basically the law of the land and how shit happens. Of course, I would love to see the Kings' success, you know, continue and have an opportunity to at least go play the Oklahoma City Thunder team, which is a tall order regardless. But like I said, it's going to be either Ant or Ja going up against the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the rest of that Oklahoma City Thunder team. Now, I would love to be wrong, but hey, I just got to let y'all know how I'm feeling at the time. All that being said, getting back to the main reason why I was speaking about this, Ime Udoka had his Houston Rockets team blanket Steph Curry throughout the game. You take that man out, he's a fucking driving force, a big part of that fucking engine that is the Golden State Warriors. Draymond's not going to win the game for you at this point in his career. Jimmy Butler is going to be asked to do a whole lot. And if Curry's not doing what Curry usually does, you can also put a lot of attention over there as well. They hold Curry to 3 points, get a victory. And, you know, in very dominant fashion, kind of set the tone and show people the blueprint on how to beat that team that a lot of people were saying are going to be very dangerous, to say the least. Black went out. Too long-winded. Let me give you the field as it is right now, the playoff picture if shit were to end today. Let me check this out, y'all. In the West, obviously, first seed already locked up, Oklahoma City Thunder. Like I said, Kings in the 9th, Dallas Mavericks in the 10th position. In 7th and 8th seed, that would be the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Memphis Grizzlies. The winner of that will play the number 2 seed, Houston Rockets. Currently, the 3 and 6 seeds. Third seed being the L.A. Lakers would take on the Warriors in round one. That would be interesting, right? And then the 4 and 5 seed Denver Nuggets versus the Los Angeles Clippers. All those look like good on paper, right? We'll see how shit pans out. Still some games to go. I think we got one more week of regular NBA games. Now over to the Eastern Conference, those Cavaliers, who the Kings just found a way to beat, solidified that number 1 seed. They will play the winner of the 9-10, 7-8. Play-in tournament. Currently in 9th seed is the Bulls. 10th seed would be the Heat. 7th seed would be the Magic. 8th seed are the Atlanta Hawks. The winner of the Magic and Hawks are going to go on and play the number 2 seed Boston Celtics, another dangerous team. Currently at 3 and 6 seeds. 3rd seed, New York Knicks, would host the dangerous Detroit Pistons. And that 4 and 5, 4th seed being the Indiana Pacers, would host the Milwaukee Bucks. All right. If shit stays the same, let me give you my pan out of what I think is going to happen. When it comes to the Bulls and the Heat, I see the Heat finding a way to win that, man. They would become, you know, the host team for that 7th and 8th seed. Whoever loses that, who I would say between the Magic and the Hawks, I would say the Magic would lose that game. Now, the Hawks would be locked in to play the Celtics. If I'm talking Magic versus Heat, I see That'll be a toss-up to me. I could see that going either way. I would give the nod to the Heat. Now, if the Heat are playing Cleveland Cavaliers in round one, I see the Cavs advancing. 4 and 5 seed Pacers and Bucks. I got a more rounded, you know, a more full circle team would be the Pacers. But that's an up in the air, man. Either way, that could go. With 4 of those 7 games being played in Indiana, got to give the nod to Indiana. Knicks and Pistons. Pistons are doing a lot. Turn a lot of heads. I see the Knicks advancing there. And that's just the first round, man. Now let's go to the West. OKC, they would play whoever's in that 9th or 10th winner position. Praying it's the fucking Kings. But if I had to put my money on it, I would say that would be... I got in the 7th and 8th seed game, I got the Timberwolves beating the Grizzlies. If that happens, the Timberwolves will play the Rockets, the number 2 seed. I got... I can see that going out of the way, but if I had to put some money on it, I would go Timberwolves. Now, if the Kings and the Grizzlies play, I already told you, I feel like the league's going to get the Grizzlies in there. They're going to see Ja Morant versus OKC and Shea. I got Shea and them winning that. 4 and 5, if it stays the same, you got the Nuggets and the Clippers. The Nuggets are going to find a way to win that. And then the Lakers and the Warriors, as much as I would like to say the Warriors will be able to advance, the league loves LeBron. He's getting up there in years. Not sure how much more we got of LeBron to watch. I'll say one way or another. Although it's going to be a hard-fought season, I can see the Lakers edging that one out. Luka, LeBron, Reeves. I mean, they got pieces over there. That's just that first round. That's if it stays the way it is right now. But 4 of these teams all have the exact same number in the loss column. These next 4 games, 5 games, wherever the team's got left, is going to really paint the picture and see where we're at. I'll check back in with y'all in a week, let y'all know what the actual factuals are, and then we'll go from there. All that shit being said, though, man, this NBA season is going to be one for the ages as far as the postseason is concerned. Finally getting to that point where we're playing meaningful games. Today, there's only 2 games on the slate. The 76ers travel over to Miami to play the Heat. I got the Sixers losing that. And the Kings travel to Detroit, still on the road. There's a way where we can win that game, but it's going to take a full-on effort from all parties involved. Hoping the Kings get this win. The game's starting at 4. It's about 2 minutes from now. So, let's go Kings. May not have time to get this one in time, but real quick prize picks. I got DeMar DeRozan over 23.5 points. Zach LaVine over 21 points. Cade Cunningham over 24.5. Quentin Grimes over 23.5. And DeMontis Sabonis to get over 12.5 rebounds. Probably ain't going to hit, but I still had to give you the shit. So there it is. Do with it what you may. And you know what I mean? Shout out to Prize Picks. This week, no shit I'm on, man. We're just going to vibe out. Doing all I can to stay off the radar of this motherfucking... DSPs and shit, so we're just gonna vibe. Kind of getting up and out of here real quick, man. I'm trying to see this Kings game, man. I told you these games matter these days, so hey. To everybody who's tapped in, still, you know, finding a way to navigate to where we are as we currently stand as far as the podcast is concerned, I thank y'all, man. Clap it up for y'all. That being said, I'm going to get into the crib, you know, dot my I's, cross my T's, get ready for a family night, chilling, doing what we do. I hope the same rings true for you and yours. Thank each and every one of y'all, man, for tapping in, for tuning in, for supporting the man, supporting the brand, doing the best that we can, and that's all we can do, right? As always, shout out to everybody getting to it, not going through it. That's the motherfucking motto. Patreon, we on deck for tomorrow's show, man. Y'all stay tuned. As always, find what makes you happy and return the favor. I'ma holler at y'all later. Go on.
Y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking.